Our first reading is Psalm number 42. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, sing to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Our second reading is from Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
Thank you very much, Elspeth. May what I say and what you hear be acceptable to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, up on the screen are some of the current popular songs. It's coming home, it's coming, football's coming home, and Sweet Caroline. Good times never seem so good, Sweet Caroline. I believe they never would. Could Sweet Caroline, good times never seem so good? Now, what are these songs relating to? Anybody tell me? Football. In particular, what relating to football? The Lionesses, that's right. And when they won the European Cup playing Germany, spontaneously people were singing in the crowd and around the country, it's coming home. That there were rendition footballs coming home. And then following that, there were renditions of Sweet Caroline. And if we got you to do it this morning, you'd be on your feet and you would be doing this as we sang Sweet Caroline. So people were spontaneously, joyfully singing these songs after that great occasion. And often people will say, well, you know, singing has gone out of fashion. Singing together in unity is a thing of the past. But you go to any football match or any sporting occasion, you will see and hear lots of singing. And men in particular will say, well, I can't sing. Singing's not my thing. You take them to a football match, and before you know it, they're on their feet singing their particular favorite song. So it's not true that men don't sing, and it's up to women. Singing is very much part of our being, of human beings. Singing is a natural expression of who we are and what we do. I want to move on to the next slide. Now, we've just heard Psalm 42 being sung, and if you read through the Psalms, the key message about the Psalms is getting real with God. Getting real with God. Often in churches, when we come to prayer, we address God in a particular way. Certainly ministers have been taught a particular format to use when they're involved in public congregational prayer. And that's very good, and it's helpful to have a structure in prayer. But when you read through the Psalms, the psalmists don't use that kind of structure. They are very personal and up front with God. And if we move on to the next slide, I wonder how many of you read the Psalms on a regular basis. Because as you can see from this structure here, there are 150 Hebrew songs, and they're divided into five books, as hymns, as we've been singing today, laments, where the psalmist is crying out bitterly because of the circumstances in which he finds himself, thanksgiving, psalms of thanksgiving, royal psalms for great occasions, when the king is going up to the temple of God, then royal psalms would be sung as part of a procession. And then wisdom psalms, psalms that reflect on the wonders of creation and of how God acts in the universe. You have everything in the Psalms. In fact, Martin Luther, the great reformer, said about the book of Psalms that it was God's little Bible. God's little Bible. And therefore, it's important for you and I to read the Psalms, to use them as part of our daily worship to God. Because every human emotion is found within the Psalms. If you think you're unique in how you're feeling, or the situation in which you're in is particular to you, it is not so. When you read through the Psalms, you will find that there will be a psalm just for you. My mother was a bit of a fretter. She would fret about this and that. And I guess there are some fretters in this room worried about this or that detail or what might happen, fretting upon this, well, there's a psalm for you, Psalm 37. And how does it begin? Don't fret. And then you read through it and you find God's answer to those who fret. But the particular psalm that we've been thinking about this morning and singing about is Psalm 42. And we can move on to that. Psalm 42, and the psalmist begins with a picture as a deer pants for the water. Sometimes we have in our heads a picture of a deer wandering through lovely glades and arriving at a pool. That is not the picture of the psalmist. It is of a deer panting pretty near death in a wilderness seeking water. And we've all seen pictures of this as we've seen the problems of thirst and of dryness in the deserts of Africa and so on. And the psalmist begins this psalm because he's going through a particular experience. God doesn't seem to be there anymore. As a deer pants for the water which it can't find, so my soul thirsts after you. God doesn't seem to be there. And I guess that can be an experience for many of us from time to time, that as we go through our Christian experience or our church life, or maybe we've got no church connection particularly whatsoever, maybe we feel God just is not there. And that was the experience of the psalmist in Psalm 42. Where is God? Why am I in this situation? What can I do about it? And he is upfront and personal with God, not addressing God in any kind of flowery language, but saying it as it really is. Many years ago, in another church in this vicinity, we asked a gentleman to take the intercessory prayers, just like George has done this morning. This gentleman had never done it before. He had no great education. He'd left school and worked as a miner. We weren't sure how it was going to go. And he came up to the front and he said, I don't really know what to say, God. I really don't know what to say. But this is how I feel about things. And by the time he'd finished his prayer, there wasn't a dry eye in the congregation, because he was speaking and praying from the heart. It meant something to him, and he clicked with every member of the congregation. This is the psalmist saying, you're not there, God. Why are you not there? What can I do about it? And then he comes up with the first antidote, if you like, and we move on to the next slide, which shows the fact that he looks back in his experience and he remembers the encouragement that he had from worshipping together. He remembers the joy of worshipping God in a company of people. And that gives him the encouragement that although God doesn't seem to be there at the moment, he's been with him in the past. And the psalmist says, when I look back and remember the joy of going up with a congregation to worship God, I know and knew that he was there. He remembers that experience. And in the letter to the Colossians, which Elspeth read out to us, we are encouraged to boost each other by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to each other, to encourage one another. That's why we come to church, to encourage one another to be together. Because when we do that, God speaks to us in a very special way. So the psalmist reflects on the fact, well, if God is not with me now, he's certainly been with me in the past. And I can cling on to that as something that will help me to get through this difficult period. And then if we move on to the next slide, there is another experience. When we cry out to God, is God listening? You see that in verse 7. Is God listening? And the psalmist says, all your waves and billows go over me. If you've ever submerged yourself in water, you can actually hear what other people say if they're in the water with you, but you can't hear what people are saying from above. And that's the experience of the psalmist, that all the waves and billows have flowed over him and he feels totally cut off from God. And he's praying, well, are you there, God? Are you listening? And often we are in an experience like that, aren't we? We are going through a difficult period, we're praying, and just God doesn't seem to be there. God doesn't seem to answer. And yet we know that God is always present and he always is there. But often we address God with a megaphone, don't we? We think, well, the louder we shout, the more likely he is to hear us and to answer us. And you remember in the Old Testament when there was the competition between the prophet Elijah and the false prophets of the then idol called Baal, how the false prophets, the priests of Baal, were shouting and shouting to Baal that he would pour fire on the sacrifice which had been prepared. They cut themselves with knives and they shouted and shouted all day. Nothing happened. And then Elijah just said a little quiet prayer, and the fire came down on the sacrifice. We don't need to shout to God, but we do need to speak to him, and we need to be real when we are coming before God. God doesn't mind if you complain about him. He doesn't mind if you say, it's not fair that I'm in this situation. Because if you read through the Psalms, you'll find that many, many times the psalmists do that. It's not fair, God. I shouldn't be here. You shouldn't have put me in this situation. And what are you going to do about it? That's often a sentiment in the Psalms. And yet, how often are we honest enough to pray like that? And the next slide will show us it's important to be totally honest with God. When you're honest with God about your emotions, it's actually an act of worship. When you're honest with God, with your emotions, it's actually an act of worship. God is listening, and he is keen to know and hear an honest prayer. An honest prayer, not a holy willy prayer, as Burns had it, but an honest prayer from the heart. And as the psalmist goes through Psalm 42, he begins to get his perspectives right. And the next slide will show that for us. This is the Message translation. Experience leads to hope and trust in God. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God, and soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. And what the psalmist is doing here is getting things into perspective. So often we can be enclosed in our own little bubble. We think that we are the center of the universe, that all our problems are unique to us. But the psalmist suddenly realizes, as he reflects and engages honestly with God, that he needs to get the right perspective, that he needs to realize that he's not the only one and will not be the only one in the situation he finds himself. We need to get our perspectives right. We need to get the big picture of how God is operating in the world in which we live. And so it's important to read the Psalms. And it would be good if each one of us, and I'm speaking to myself as well, were to read a psalm every day. Because as we do that, we'll be led through the experiences which will resonate with us as we read through the Psalms and will enable us to get a real perspective on God and how he deals with you and me and how he operates within the world. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the experiences of the psalmists. We thank you that we can come before you honestly. And we ask that you would strip away from each one of us the pretense that we often have and help us to get real with you, to be honest with you. And so, Lord, we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you will enable us to encourage not just ourselves, but to encourage one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, so that whatever we do, we may do it for your honor and glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.